Off the Ball Breakfast.
And he said what he's realised this summer is that he just wants to be loved. And if he feels the love, he will give it back to you in return on the pitch.
Live every weekday morning from 7:30 on your smart speaker. Just ask Alexa to play OTB Sports Radio.
The Saturday Panel on Off the Ball.
Brought to you by Visit Pennsylvania, your next must-visit destination in 2026.
And welcome back to Off the Ball Saturday here on News Talk. John Duggan with you through to five. If you want to WhatsApp us, folks, you can today, 0879 180 180. So the Saturday Panel on Off the Ball this week brought to you by Visit Pennsylvania, the home of incredible sport and scenery, your next must-visit destination in 2026. There's just the one guest this week. David Myler made over 100 appearances in the Premier League across two clubs, Sunderland and Hull City. He appeared in an FA Cup final. He captained the Republic of Ireland, made 26 appearances for his country, and is now the assistant boss of Cork City, who have an FAI Cup final to look forward to against Shamrock Rovers next month. David, great to chat to you again.
JD, how are you?
How's the form?
I'm very good, thank you. Very good. Happy to be here.
You're back on Lee side.
I am. It's quite strange. I left 18 years ago, and obviously when the opportunity came back to be the assistant manager, something I took, but like moving back home, it's a bit strange considering how long I've been away.
You get the home comforts like tea bags and crisps and stuff that you might have missed in England.
Do you know what? Dairy milk, golden crisp, mint crisp, waffles, the crisps, the popcorn. There's a particular popcorn.
Manhattan is it?
Popcorn. Yep. Yeah. All those little things you would notice. They're the nice little thing. Clonakilty sausages, all that stuff.
And maybe a pint of Murphy's. You can't say Guinness down there.
No, do you know what? I'm not a massive stout drinker. I'd have it every now and then, but I would. I'd go Murphy's over Guinness, certainly at home.
Good man. You're saying all the right things already on the show. David, so we were probably doing some reflections during the week about Germany. 10 years on was last Wednesday. I mean, did you think about it at all? Or because it is some landmark. You played in that game.
Yeah, and it's crazy to think it's 10 years ago. And, like, you know, it's great because, like, with the clubs I played for, or certainly with Ireland, when those big games come up, they kind of put stuff out in social media. Do you know what I mean? Obviously, Shane's goal. So you kind of have flashback memories. I end up talking to my dad about it, and you kind of go on. It's crazy to believe. Like, you look at kind of the situation of the senior team now and the disappointing camp last month. But, like, if you remember back to that, we had lost to Scotland away. And then we ended up taking 4 points off Germany. And it's kind of remarkable when you look back on those big nights and those big moments. I think, I don't know off the top of my head in case anyone fact checks me, but they had like over 80% possession. And like the effort of, you know, I think what, probably 14 of us played in the game in the end. But the effort was just unbelievable. The resilience to, you know, stay in the game. Obviously, you ride your luck in moments. And then when you get opportunities, you end up taking them. And like, who'd have thought a long ball from, you know, Randolph and then Longy's in, and it's one hell of a finish.
You were just coming on around then, were you, David?
Yeah, I actually won the ball back, JD. I was the one who gave it back to Randolph. They always leave that one. They always leave that part out of the clip. No, but I came on. I'd say I was on the pitch a couple of minutes. I don't know exactly. But, like, I'm brought on there to, you know, fresh legs in midfield to kind of get about, get close to players, obviously track runners, just freshen up a little bit. And I remember, like, when I win the ball back and I end up giving it back to Randolph, I'm like, whoa, I need a breather now, because you're trying to get your second win just as you come on. And then obviously Shane scores. And then, like, certainly that group of players I played with, when we went ahead, you always felt that we could, you know, see games through. Like, certainly the defensive partnerships, the togetherness, the structure of the team we had. We were brilliant at, like, a 1-0 win in games where we weren't expected to get anything, but we could see things through.
Your goal goes in. Is there a sporting euphoria that goes through an athlete's body, and do you need to cool that down pretty quickly?
Yeah, it's all those big games. Like, it's crazy to think, like, saw Robbie Keane talking the other day about his goal, you know, back in Saipan against Germany, you know, back in the World Cup. You look at that goal. I look at McLean's goal against Wales. Like, it's almost time stands still for a moment. You think, oh my God, like, it's unbelievable. But then you think, how long is left in the game? We've now got to, you kind of quickly switch out of it, because we've got to see this through, because as much as it's brilliant that we're now winning or leading in a game, you want to see it through all the way to the end, and you don't want to, you don't want to be the one, I find anyway, in my own experience, you don't want to be the one to mess it up.
And that was the turning point in that campaign, because from there, things changed. We beat Bosnia in a playoff and we got to France, and then it all kind of took off.
Yeah. And it's mad because, like, I remember I suffered a knee injury just before the Bosnia games, and I was out. And I remember being down the local pub when we played Bosnia away. I believe it was Robbie scored. Do you remember they had the coverage, but the clouds, you couldn't really see anything in the game. And I remember Martin O'Neill rang me and said, "I hope you're coming to the game." And I said, that was the Bosnia at home game. And I said, yeah. And I remember having a conversation with them in our snack room for about an hour and a half, just chatting about it. And I was like ultra confident. And obviously I now know what, say, managers and coaches go through on the other side of it. But I was pure confident in the lads after going all the way to Bosnia, getting a result. I felt super confident that we were going to go and beat them. And obviously Johnny Walter scores the penalty and all that. But I remember having that conversation with Martin, going through things, and just, I don't know, you'd have to ask him, but it was almost, he felt a bit of calmness through me because I was super confident in the boys. We've come this far, considering where we were at Scotland away, to come all the way through the campaign, get big results against Germany, that I felt that we'd go and get a result. And then the performance of the night was incredible.
And digging things out, have you felt we've lost a bit of that in maybe the confidence of our players? When you're not winning in many games in a row, then it does begin to affect the team and it is debilitating.
Of course. Like, with the hardest thing with international football is always you come in on, like, so the players were reported, we're now Saturday. My days of the week are all over the place, as we're playing Monday night. But we're now Saturday. The players would have met up Monday. And then they have three or four sessions together. Now, you've got players coming from all different clubs in England. Now we've got players in Italy, wherever. So they're coming from all different clubs. They've travelled. And it's very difficult that, if you try and implement too many things in a short period of time, players can get caught between a rock and a hard place. And I found that certainly in the, you know, in the performances, because there was a massive buzz going into the Hungary game. We're very fortunate how the game transpired. But then obviously, like, look, there's no beating around the bush. The performance against Armenia was terrible. But it's like in those short camps, like you've got to nail down everything, and the structure is so important that if when players go onto the pitch, they know exactly what's required of them. And it's getting those clear messages in the days. And look, there's good coaches. Obviously, it didn't transpire in the performances; they weren't good enough. They didn't get results. But that's what I would certainly be looking at against Portugal. You need to go and put a performance on and show, like, What positives can we take for the Armenia game Tuesday? If we can get something out of the gate, brilliant. We probably have to at this point, no. But certainly we need a performance.
You obviously played at the top level. You understand what the psychology of the players is more than the rest of us. So when you're watching the Armenia game, you're going, "What's going on, lads? I mean, can you not see it? Can you not change it in game? I mean, can you see what's happening? Can you understand what's happening?"
Yeah, and I think there's been a lot of noise around, you know, the leaders within the group. Look, we have several players who are captains of their club. Playing international football is different. You look at the senior players in this group, like, it's brilliant that Seamus is back in around it. And all the managers obviously spoken about Seamus is there, not because of his experience, but there to play, which I know Seamus would be there and want to play. But I was very fortunate, JD, in the change room I was in. Like, I caught Robbie, Shea, John O'Shea. Like, there's three straight away of three of arguably, right, depending on your age, Shea's probably the best goalkeeper. I'd have him in my all-time grey. Shea's, he has to be in there. And then Robbie's the all-time cap and goal scorer. So, like, we learned off those that we tried to carry on what they had shown us from an early standpoint and what we came. Now I look at the group and think they are a bit young. There's no getting away from that. And there's probably that lack of player who has been around a long time that is a well-earned veteran who's been around the block that can actually help and guide them more. And that's why, like, you look at the example I'd probably use would be a John Egan, who's come back in as well. Someone who's been around football a long time that he can help those younger players. Like, as they are, we see them play week in, week out for their clubs and they put in good performances. But when they come together for Ireland, it's not clicking at the moment. And I think that's the one that they have to find a way to be able to turn out performances to get results. Whether that's, you know, I know we want to see open, expansive football when we're playing, but we might have to sit in that deeper lower block. There was times I did it under Martin, and we were part of that where we gave teams the full respect. And there might have been, there's always this talk of the lesser opposition, but in today's game, all these players are now playing scattered across Europe. They're playing decent levels. They're good technical players. And they're going to make it difficult. And for a lot of them, it's the biggest moment in their lives playing for their country. And they'll do their utmost to help their country.
You're kind of thinking then, given what you've said, where were Seamus and John Egan last month?
Well, that's a totally different conversation. Because, you know, once the manager will come together and they'll have an idea. They'll have no doubt they'll have meetings leading into the camps. They'll be watching players, discussing players. There'll be regular contact with one another. And they pick the squad which they feel can go and put on a performance to get results in those, you know, opening games against Hungary and Armenia. And it's not transpired. But when you go away to these countries, it's hard. Yeah, like I've no doubt if you put our 11 and their 11 on paper, yes, we have better players. But that doesn't mean you're going to win. Like Armenia will be well organized. They're going to be tough. Like, but you've got to go and find a way to grind out a result. Like you touched on the games. I remember playing Georgia away when McGeady scored late on. Like you look at Austria away. Like those were tough, tough games and tough places to go. When we went to Serbia, like they're really difficult. And you've got to roll your sleeves and go, this is going to be a shift and it's going to be hard work, but you've got to relish and embrace that challenge. Like the gaps the last day between the back four, the midfielders, the front line, it was too easy for Armenia to play. And that's where I talk about those older ones who have more games under their belt to kind of say, do you know what, I need to probably drag the distances down a little bit. Does that mean that the back four step up, or do they then drag everyone back down and we just for the next 5-10 minutes consolidate and stay in the game? And I didn't think they learned in game, or they didn't change anything in game. And I've no doubt the coaches would have been shouting on information, but in the moment, sometimes a player has to recognise that himself and take responsibility and do it.
What about tonight then? I mean, how do we can't concede early is the first thing. And then what are you looking for them to do tactically to give themselves any kind of a chance?
The hardest thing we're going to have probably tonight is going to be the fullbacks. Obviously I don't know what Portugal start 11, but if they play Nuno Mendes and Cancelo and whatever, they're going to fly forward, which inevitably could end up pinning our wingers back. And then if it's Evan leading the line, Evan is up and he's isolated, and then how do we get support up to him? Then if he comes, you take the risk, do you stay, do they kind of go on a 4-5-1, 5-4-1, whichever way it may be, that we have to allow players to get forward, because as much as Evan can stretch and he can hold up the ball, you need to get players up there to support him. So the biggest thing is what they'll do tactically to get players up to support him. But then the next part will be, like, Portugal are going to dominate the ball. So I'm looking at, like, the compactness. Are we together? The distances between the players. And they're going to have to try and frustrate the life out of Portugal. I'm almost hoping, as now a coach, that it's a terrible game to watch.
Yeah.
Because Ireland are so, they've just condensed the pitch, and it's like, do you know what, you can have the ball for 2/3 of the pitch, but there's no space anywhere here. And we've got to frustrate them. We've got to stay in the game. I think if we get that and we come away and go nil all, it's something to build on. If they can turn this into 4 points, it gives us a bit of life. And I think that's, look, they're at the point after the disappointing last game. They have to get a result.
But Nathan Collins, would you play him in a more advanced role?
What, you mean higher up the pitch?
Yes.
No.
No.
I've seen that before. I've heard it, but you've got a young player who's played the majority of his professional career centre-back. To go into midfield, it becomes a totally different game. To push him in, I understand, you know, there might be times where he might have to step in, but I think their biggest threat is going to obviously be try and work the ball in the tight spaces to get it wide. Obviously, if Ronaldo plays, he's lethal in the air. Nathan is still one of our better headers of the ball. it's a big one. I'd be very surprised if they put Nathan into midfield, because it's a unique position. You know, you've got to have that 360 awareness. You've got to be playing there all the time. You've seen England doing something similar where they tried to put Trent inside, and all of a sudden, like, Trent had played there in his early days at Liverpool, but you could see when you progress to the higher levels against a Portugal, I don't think it's the time to take that risk.
So when you're looking at the shape of the team, I mean, who would you like to see in there? I mean, Jason Malumbi maybe putting himself forward because of Jason Knight's injury. Troy Parrish, look, it seems to be fit. He had a great start to the season, then he got injured. You know, we're going to try and look maybe a Benny and maybe a Johnson at some stage. And then obviously, where will Jacob Ryan play? These are kind of things that need to be thought about.
Yeah, and it's. I think if we were to sit here, JD, for the next 2 hours, we could probably hash out about 15 or 16 different starting 11s of different things. I think the biggest thing is the three in midfield. If we go, say, with a 4-3-3, like, do you play Troy in the 10 and play him off Evan? Like, we're going to need pace and speed on the wings, because, like, Nuno Mendes, I expect Ogbené to play on the right. Just because I know he's not played a great deal of football, but he has fantastic speed and Mendes is rapid. So can he match him? But then at the same time, can he get him to go backwards? Because there's going to be moments where we turn over the ball and we win it back. Can we get people up to support the front line? And we're going to need speed and pace in the wide areas to be able to stretch them. So I expect Jason to play, because Jason's renowned for his energy. He has that little bit of bite. So he could be that little dog in and around midfield, getting close to people, putting pressure, getting after people. It'll just be interesting, because they're going to need legs. You're going to need players to run, because, like, those players, the Portuguese players, whether it's Bernardo, Bruno, whatever, they're fantastic at drifting into those half spaces in between the lanes, get on the ball, and players are going to have to be able to press repeatedly in areas, and then they're going to have to track runners. Like, I could go on all day, JD, on what we need. But ultimately, if we can be in a situation where we've got three or four Portuguese players in front of us and our 11 is in a good shape, distances are good, and if that's in our own half, it's in our own half, but they've got the ball in front of them and we're not running back towards our own goal, that'll be good.
What about Ronaldo? I mean, the stats are just off the scale. 141 goals and 223 appearances, 40 years of age. And we saw he kind of broke our hearts in Faro a few years ago with two late goals. And look, he's such a huge figure. I mean, it's hard for Roberto Martinez to keep him out of the team.
Yeah, but I think it's one of those that tonight probably suits Ronaldo, in terms of, like, they're not playing one of, you know, a Spain, France, and Germany, where Portugal are looking to press and get after the ball. Ronaldo doesn't do that. I think that was evident when he was back at United. But what he does do, and what he has a great knack of, is scoring goals. So, like, if Portugal are going to dominate the ball, like, he has the patience, he has the intelligence, the movement, and he's lethal. So a game like tonight could actually end up suiting him, where he doesn't have to be running around pressing, or obviously not helping them in the press, but, like, he's a massive threat. God, it's probably, 23 years he's been doing this. It's phenomenal. He's a remarkable athlete, and he's the danger man always. We're going to have to get in around him. Balls are in wide areas, like you touched on there, the game far with the two late headers. Like, of course, his ability to spring up high is fantastic. His heading ability is incredible. But we need to get players in around him, frustrate him, make it hard for him, not give it to him easy.
David Myler, ex-Republic of Ireland international, is on the line. We're going to speak to David in more detail after two about Cork City, about the start of the Premier League season, and also maybe the development of young players in this country.
The Saturday Panel
on Off the Ball. Brought to you by Visit Pennsylvania, your next must-visit destination in 2026.